And welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this World Press Freedom Day, Friday, May 3rd, 2024. The head of the Union of Journalists in South Sudan say the media is under siege in Africa's new nation.
Just 2 days ago, in Upper Nile State in Malakal, there was a journalist who attended an event and reported that the minister made a statement that was hate speech. And that journalist was summoned to the police station and then he was finally set free. But that is detention by itself.
And South Sudan's soldiers have depleted the country's forests to feed their families.
Illegal harvesting or cutting of our trees has reached a very alarming rate. 99.9% of us use charcoal and fuel wood as a source of energy. So everybody is now going to the forest to cut. Also, our soldiers have taken over our forest.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Today is World Press Freedom Day, established by UNESCO in 1991 to highlight the vital role of a free, independent, and diverse press to democracy. The theme for this year's World Press Freedom Day is a press for the planet, journalism in the face of the environmental crisis. We'll bring you several stories about media landscape in South Sudan and across the world. We begin from Juba. The Union of Journalists of South Sudan say media managers in the country should give journalists decent wage. The head of the union, Patrick Oyet, says most journalists working in South Sudan are underpaid, while others wait for several months to receive mega salaries from their employers.
Our journalists are really paid very, very little money. Most of them working in state-owned media and also some private media are paid less than $100 per month, which is very, very little. And this is affecting, of course, how they deliver their services. That's why we are calling on media houses to really, really work hard, get money and pay journalists well.
How did the media houses come with that pay scale? Did you discuss with them why they are paying journalists less than $100 per month? Is that a government pay scale?
Yes.
Is that pay scale based on qualification or what is it all about?
Well, the problem that has been there is that media houses say they do not have media market. They say they are not getting advertisements. There are no international or transnational or multinational companies that are supporting them in terms of advertisement. Therefore, they are depending on a very, very small amount of money.
Looking at the media environment in South Sudan and the markets there, you and I know that advertisement is the mainstay of private media houses. And in a place like Juba, it's difficult to get advertisement because people know where to get what they want.
We are asking the media houses to think outside the box. We are asking the media houses to look for ways that can make the media houses sustainable. They should invest, if it means investing in other businesses.
On this World Press Freedom Day, how would you describe the media environment in South Sudan? There are lots of stories that we are hearing. Talk to me about the media environment.
The media environment needs a lot of work. We do appreciate the fact that media laws are there. Media authority has been established. Access to Information Commission has been established. But they are not fully set up. There are many units within the media authority, Access to Information Commission, that are not functional. And that makes the work of those institutions very minimal. It is not satisfactory. And also, they are poorly funded. Now, coming to the issue of intimidation, arrest, I can tell you that just 2 days ago, in Upper Nile State in Malakal, there was a journalist who attended an event and reported that the minister made a statement that was hate speech, and he condemned the minister for making that statement in the piece of news that he wrote. And that journalist was summoned to the police station. He stayed the whole day. They told him, go home, come back tomorrow. The next day, he had to go and sit there again for some hours, and then he was finally set free. But that is detention by itself. The issue of articles being removed from the printing press is still continuing. So we do not have that freedom on this day of the World Press Freedom. We call on the government of South Sudan to really allow the media to do its work in a free environment. Now, when you also do not have access to information, for example, we have a case in South Sudan, capital here, where the former mayor, Kalisto, was arrested, and there is no clear information from the government who arrested him. We only hear that he was arrested by some gunmen. We do not know who are those gunmen. The government is not coming out to tell us who arrested him, where is he, why he's not producing court. We as journalists cannot report. So if you block us from getting information, and the public keep asking us, because we are journalists, they send you messages, they call you, can you update us about the issue of the former mayor of Juba? Still we find that the media is being intimidated. The media is still being, you know, censored, which is not what should happen. Let the media do its work. If anything is not in line with the law, let us meet in court.
You were arrested earlier this year.
Okay.
For just doing piece to camera for your media house near the airport. And those who arrested you identified themselves as national security officers. They took your accreditation card, took your equipment, and told you to jump into their car. If you, who is the head of a union in South Sudan, could be arrested, how safe are other local journalists?
We have raised our concerns to the national security, especially the political affairs division, of which they have apologized for that. And we have said, going forward, we would like really collaboration. We would like an understanding, not just getting somebody, and even when all their documents are in place, they are just arrested or their documents are confiscated, their equipment are confiscated. We have made this clear, and since that time, since I was disturbed, we have not had an incident with that security, national security unit. We are hoping that they have taken the point serious, as their director promised us. So the situation is still challenging, but we are not relenting. We are not giving up. We continue to talk, to go to their offices, to point out things that we think are not okay, and we hope that there will be improvement.
That's Patrick Oyet, head of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan. He spoke to me from Juba this past hour. We now move to Malakal, where journalists in Upper Nile State Capital marked the World Press Freedom Day with calls for more training to improve their skills. The state government and its partners pledged support to uphold freedom of expression and the right of access to information. Mamer Abraham Kwart reports from Malakal town.
Journalists in Malakal gathered at University of Upper Nile to celebrate World Press Freedom Day under the theme Protecting Citizens' Rights to Freedom of Expression and Access to Information During Elections. Oliver Modi, Managing Director of Equita Broadcasting Corporation in Juba, harsh, the transitional government of national unity, not to gag the media during the upcoming elections.
The focus of this celebration today is the citizens' rights and the freedom of expression. We need this to be guaranteed so that citizens can move side by side towards a fair, free, credible, and peaceful elections.
Modi says defamation cases should be handled by the government-owned media authority, a body mandated to oversee the work of the media in South Sudan. UNESCO is country representative in South Sudan. Julius Banda says South Sudan is one of the testing grounds for media contributions towards development. He says journalists should work toward uniting South Sudanese polarized communities.
Journalists in general, but particularly here in South Sudan, you should not underestimate the role that you play. We are dealing with a situation where the country has a very low literacy rate. It's only around 34-35% literacy rate. We are dealing with a very wide geographical area with a lot of diversity. So journalism, the journalists, particularly the radio and also television, you are the window to all these people to try and bring them together, to connect them.
Banda calls upon the government to avoid shutting down the internet during the elections scheduled to take place in December. He urged the Union of Journalists to ensure that the World Press Freedom Day is not only celebrated in Juba, but in the 10 states and 3 administrative areas. Nyok Gyon, Acting Director General at Upper Nile State Ministry of Information, says the state will provide a conducive environment for journalists.
Freedom of expression is a fundamental pillar of any democratic society, and you are essential for fostering transparency, accountability, and free exchange of ideas. As a journalist, your role in upholding this freedom cannot be understated. In Upper Nile State, I'm confident to fostering an environment where journalists can thrive, where freedom of expression is protected, and where access to information is guaranteed.
Reporters Without Borders say South Sudan violated press freedom with reports of harassment, death threats, arrest, and detention of journalists by the government's security operatives. This week, John Abraham, a freelance journalist with Almogif newspaper in Juba, was arrested over a newspaper article he wrote, but was released on Thursday to participate in World Press Freedom Day celebrations. Articles 24 and 32 of South Sudan's transitional constitution guarantee freedom of expression and rights of access to information, respectively. For VOA News, I am Amer Abraham Kwad, reporting from Malakal, Upper Nile State.
Still on press issues, the theme for this world's Press Freedom Day is Press for the Planet, Journalism in the Face of the Environmental Crisis. And in South Sudan, 90% of the population uses charcoal for cooking, depleting the country's forest cover. Authorities at the country's Ministry of Environment warned South Sudanese to stop destroying their natural resources across South Sudan. Dennis Longonyi reports for VOA from Juba.
Amani Joyce sells charcoal under the scorching sun on Juba's busy streets. She complains about the excessive heat, but does not see a connection between the trees that are cut down to make the charcoal she sells and the warmer temperatures.
I get my charcoal from Magui. The person brings for me the charcoal. I will sell it when I get a small profit. I pay his money and he will bring me more charcoal. I also sell in small buckets so I can get 1,000 or 2,000 SSP. That's how we are working. You know, we don't have enough money to bring more charcoal, but the business is helping a lot.
Joseph Africano Batel, Undersecretary in the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, warns that South Sudan is already facing the negative effects of deforestation.
Illegal harvesting or cutting of our trees has reached a very alarming rate. 99.9% of us use charcoal and fuel wood as a source of energy. So everybody is now going to the forest to cut. Also, our soldiers have taken over our forest.
South Sudan's transitional government of national unity have not paid civil servants and members of the organized forces their salaries for months, forcing soldiers deployed in various parts of the country to cut down trees for charcoal. Batel says the country's forest cover is under siege.
When you go to the areas of Morobo, Kajukeji, part of Acholi, Yambio, Meridi, up to the borders, people are cutting our natural wood, azalea, mahogany. But the most important thing, to stop deforestation, the government has to prioritize renewable energy. We have the policies, we have the regulations, but instability will not allow us to be able to manage the forest sustainably.
Last month, Jacob Remijo, a lawmaker representing Morobo County in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly, tabled a motion on charcoal business in his area. He accuses the Sudan People's Liberation Army in opposition, or SPLA-IO, loyal to the country's first vice president Riek Machar, and foreign companies of being engaged in the lucrative business of illegal logging.
The forest is really deflated in Morobo County in general and in Panyume, Bayam in particular. As we talk now, we have three youths who arrested the Central Power machines, they are arrested and detained until now. The military barracks of the SPLA-IO. I want the international community to help us rescue those youths. These are Ugandans and Congolese. Ugandan, Congolese in the logging, then Italian and the Lebanese in the chapel business.
Or yet Nathaniel Perino, Deputy Speaker at the Transitional National Legislative Assembly and the Deputy Chairman of the SPLA-IO, refuted Remigio's allegations and threatened to take legal action against him.
The Parliament have instituted a select committee who will travel to Morobo and find out who are those who are involved in lobby. Is it the businessmen who are being given license by the county authority? Is it the local chiefs who are interacting with businessmen, selling their trees? Or is it members of the forces that are in the area of cantonment or the SSPDF?
Teddy Grace is a civic engagement officer at the non-profit called Coneta. The group trains women on how to make briquettes to stop the rampant cutting of trees. She says more than 50 women have so far benefited from the training, adding that briquettes for fuel will reduce deforestation for charcoal.
Briquettes, these are alternative charcoals you can use for cooking, and these are made out of the available waste resources we have around. First of all, you just get water, then you get the papers, you soak them in the water. If you want them to sleep in the water, so that they can have a long-lasting burning in the stove, you soak them to sleep overnight. It prevents us from cutting a lot of trees.
Garang Magwed Garang, founder of Greening South Sudan organization, says his group plants trees in churches, schools, and homes to reduce global warming.
We have planted over 500 seedlings of different types, majorly in Juba. We have a plan of planting 10 million in the next 10 years. So every year, we want to at least plant 1 million. That is what we can do at our capacity. In 2024, people are buying one seedling at 10,000. If we all turn up for greening, we can tackle the issue of cutting down of trees.
Forest loss and damage contributes to 10% of global warming, resulting in burning of fossil fuels, the cutting down of forests and farming increasingly influencing the climate and the Earth's temperature. It also adds enormous amounts of greenhouse gases to those naturally occurring in the atmosphere, increasing the greenhouse effect and global warming. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Logonyi reporting from Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, do you know what it takes to be a journalist in Eritrea? Stay tuned for an answer to that question after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. At least 71 journalists and media workers were killed in 2023. That's according to the United Nations Human Rights Commission, which says only 13% of murder cases have been investigated. And as the international community marks World Press Freedom Day, African journalists are facing challenges when it comes to media freedom, with Eritrea being among the countries making it hard for journalists to carry out their duties. Maureen Ojiambo reports from Sacramento.
In 2023, at least 320 journalists and media workers were imprisoned, the highest number ever. According to the United Nations, more than 750 journalists have been attacked in the past 15 years while covering environmental issues. This year's Press Freedom Day theme is A Press for the Planet, Journalism in the Face of Environmental Crisis. The UN says environmental journalists need protection from both governments and their employers. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the frequency of such attacks is on the rise.
It is no surprise that some powerful people, companies and institutions will stop at nothing to prevent environmental journalists from doing their jobs. Media freedom is under siege, and environmental journalism is an increasingly dangerous profession. Dozens of journalists covering illegal mining, logging, poaching and other environmental issues have been killed in recent decades. In the vast majority of cases, no one has been held to account.
In Africa, freedom of the press has been suppressed, with some journalists being suspended and media outlets shut down by governments. The African Program Coordinator at the Committee to Protect Journalists, Angela Quinto, says most countries violate the freedom of the press, with the majority of journalists facing prosecution and criminal charges.
The situation in sub-Saharan Africa is not particularly good for journalists and several countries. In terms of sub-Saharan Africa, we actually had 47 journalists in jail, and that was an increase from the previous year. And we found that, as usual, Eritrea was the worst jailer of journalists. We had Ethiopia as the second worst, and then Cameroon as the third worst, and Rwanda.
She says the Committee to Protect Journalists ensures there is accountability when journalists are abused and their rights violated.
So what we have seen is the suspension of media outlets, or, you know, the banning of journalists. We have foreign journalists being kicked out of countries, being deported. We obviously, campaigns are a big part of what we do. We have an impunity campaign, for example, that is quite important.
The United Nations emphasizes the importance of independence, ethical and quality journalism in recognition of the crucial role journalists play as advocates of human rights. Volker Turk is the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights.
When we lose a journalist, we lose our eyes and ears to the outside world. We lose a voice for the voiceless. We lose, in fact, a human rights defender. World Press Freedom Day was established to celebrate the value of truth and to protect the people who work courageously to uncover it.
Guterres says the UN recognizes the work of journalists in informing and engaging the public.
Without facts, we cannot fight mis and disinformation. Without press freedom, we won't have any freedom. A free press is not a choice, but a necessity.
He therefore says he's calling on governments, the private sector and civil society to reaffirm their commitment to safeguarding press freedom and the rights of journalists and media professionals around the world. For VOA Africa, I am Moreno Jumbo in San Francisco.
It's that time we hear from our listeners. We start with Daniel Michael in Yehi Town, who writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. What is happening in Tombora is inhuman. Targeted killings, torture, abduction of women and children. God's servant is rampant in Tombora County. That alone prompts civilians to seek refuge in their own land inside UN bases due to fear. The government in Western Equatoria should look into the root causes of this." John Albert from Western Equatoria State Yambio writes, "Hi, John Tanza and your team. It's very good for the state government of Western Equatoria State to set up security in Tombora, because we citizens of Western Equatoria are not happy with what is taking place in Tombora. Therefore, I would like the government of Western Equatoria State to summon the three commissioners of Najero, Ezo and Tombora to answer for what is taking place there." Balash Joram Sakondo in Nzara County, Western Equatoria State writes, "Hello, VOA. I'm shocked by the instability and displacement in the three counties of Tombora, Ezo, and Najero. After plenty of lives lost, especially the disappearance of a Catholic priest." Samuel Remo in Yehi writes, "Hi, John Tanz and Nabil Biagio. It was a bold decision made by citizens of Tombora to desert their home area and take cover at church and on mis compounds, because we are living in a confused world." Mayar Angelo Deng from Ajogo Payam of Gogorial East County writes, "Happy International Press Freedom Day. On this special occasion, I would like to congratulate all the journalists across the globe for their tireless efforts to dig deeper, trace and bring into public notice some information which could have been hidden from the public by some elites who have their undisclosed agenda." Martin Manielo in Juba writes, "Hello, John, Trans and Nabil. Kindly allow me to extend Happy World Press Freedom Day. As a journalist, I strongly urge my fellow journalists to always remember media rules and regulations when they are doing their job. James Roy Majok from Unity State Bantu writes, "Happy Press Freedom Day. Despite all that, journalists in South Sudan are always being intimidated and brutally tortured and arrested by security personnel, while journalists have a duty and responsibility to cover any event based on global worldview." Khan Stephen Met from Jongle, Ayot County writes, "Hello, VOA. I would like to appreciate the government of South Sudan, especially the Ministry of Roads and Bridges, for their motivated action that connects the whole country with roads, which will bring development to citizens." Tom Mamor Kwet in Juba writes, "Dear John Tans and Nabil Biagio, I wish the new government in Greater Pibor Administrative Area to urgently work hard to return abducted women and children from Kaudo of Kapoita East, including raided cattle and sheep, immediately, and the perpetrators should be held accountable." John Abdullahi in Jongle State, Urur County writes, "Welcome back, General Yao Yao, to SPLM-IG. Your journey to SPLM-IO was only 19 days. Welcome back to where you belong." And finally, Peter Gwoch Anyangdul in Jongle State, Town of Bor writes, "Supporting farmers to produce food is the best way to elevate people from vicious circle of famine and as the country and famine in the country. And as the 80% of the country population depend on imported food or humanitarian aid since the country gained independence in 2011. Views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of this program or the management of the Voice of America." That's all we prepared for you on this World Press Freedom Day, Friday, May 3rd, 2024. We now leave you with the song "Anamamashi and a Guide" by Crazy Fox, which means I'm going nowhere.
Me can't be a refugee in my own country. And I'm a mashi, and I'm a man, and I'm a big group. And I'm a guy, so that you know the last of boys in our Fox and a guy. And I'm a mashi, and I'm a man, and I'm a big group. And I'm a guy, so that you know the last of boys in our Fox and a guy. And I ask my galley, said that don't like me, does it take my talian?
We've been listening to Crazy Fox and the song "Ana Guide," which means in Arabic, "I'm here to stay." I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. I am not going anywhere, and on behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and Peter Hindley, we wish you a happy Press Freedom Day. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
laughing and I'm no finish. And I'm my logis. And I'm a Lutfi Juba. And I'm a Mutfi Juba. Should I take out a Fiji?